Okay, well, sorry, guys. I'm still getting over this bird flu or whatever, and I'm like the worst sick person ever. I just sit around, get more depressed than usual, and like nothing excites me when I'm sick. But I've got to be over the worst of this thing, and hey, happy holidays, and I'm hoping we're all going to have a good new year. Mine have been declining in quality recently, so let's turn that around. I'm barely getting this episode written in time, so if this episode sucks, be kind, dear listener. Be kind. And when in doubt, I look at my horoscope. Okay, today says, not everything will go smoothly today and over the weekend, but you can make things easier for yourself by not making a big deal about delays and disruptions. You are still moving toward your desired destination, Los Angeles, but it may take a little longer to get there. Okay, I did add that Los Angeles part, but Jesus, sometimes these horoscopes can be spot on. Okay, so get ready for a random, somewhat incomprehensible, and altogether illogical episode. You know, like all the rest of them.
You are my density. You are my density.
Okay, briefly, I was just driving, and up in the sky there were these clouds with an opening that if you squinted just right, it looked like a mothership with light and stuff beaming down from it. And so I was driving, and I looked up at this mothership in the sky, and I said, I'm ready to come home now. I mean, don't we all feel that way sometimes, like we belong in another world? Plus, it was just a nice piece of dialogue, I thought, if nothing else. Okay, let's wrap up some pending business here. Yes, I had a nice visit for Christmas at my mom's, and yes, I successfully had another DVD of the 1973 TV movie version of Double Indemnity sent to my mom's, and it didn't go disappearing on me this time. So, Stacy Keach for now, chill. And yes, the movie. Well, the movie was kind of how I thought it would be. Cheesy, kind of rushed. I mean, it was only 75 minutes long. It was kind of like a Cliff Notes version of Double Indemnity. Richard Crenna and Samantha Eggar had no sparks as our scheming lead characters, but Lee J. Cobb was solid as a cigar-chomping insurance man trying to figure out the mystery. I don't know about you, but sometimes a 1973 made-for-TV movie just kind of fits the fucking bill. All right, what else do we have here? Yes, Smile 2. If you remember, I refused to watch the over 2-hour Smile 2 movie in the theaters, but I heard okay things about it. I said I would give it a shot when it started streaming, and I did. And guess what? It sucks. It's bigger budget, but the ideas are still small. It's still basically about a person who gets cursed by someone else, and the cursed person basically starts seeing people smiling at them weirdly now and again. I mean, that's kind of it. And the lead character, capably played by Naomi Scott, is kind of a millionaire or whatever Taylor Swift type pop singer. And it was kind of like, why do I give a shit about this person? She's a big star, she's got millions, okay, she's losing her mind and people are smiling at her all over the place, but I just kind of had no vested interest in this character. The movie was glacially paced, way too fucking long. It's got a decent, not great ending, and unfortunately it did well enough that we'll be seeing Smile 3 in theaters soon, surely. Yes, we will. And stop calling me Shirley. Rest in peace, Jim Abrahams. And I know we had mentioned those big questions in life on a previous episode, as Jiminy Glick might say, is there a God, and why are we here, and what happens to us when we die? Not the best Jiminy Glick. And you know, I forgot to mention those people that have had near-death experiences and seen a light or some trippy shit. I personally believe that in our last moments, our brain kind of gives us a pleasant way out, a kind of psychedelic light show as we fade out to black. But hey, man, what do I know? But I can say one thing about near-death experiences. They certainly aren't death experiences. And the difference between near-death and death is pretty fucking big. It's like near beer or something. Or can you imagine this scene? Hey, Johnny, did you have sex with your girlfriend finally last night? Johnny says, well, no, but we had near sex. What? Near sex? Get the fuck out of here. No, I'm serious. You have to leave. Yes, take your jacket. Don't forget your phone, okay? Goodbye. Near sex. Jesus. And, you know, since we just mentioned Jesus, I do feel a bit like I'm going to have a come to Jesus moment at some point, probably soon in this year. Nothing to do with religion. I've just been thinking, what else is new, that maybe a change in some behaviors is due. I've been trying to kind of flash forward a bit, and there's two major paths that my life can take at this point. One path is probably more fun at times, but ends badly. And another path is a more disciplined path. It may end badly too, who knows? But at least that path has a possibility of positivity. But I've only started thinking on this, and this is not the week to start getting too deep on things. Let's keep this one light. Well, briefly, this isn't super light, but it was kind of cool and kind of spooky. So President Bashar al-Assad of Syria was forced out of office and he fled to Russia recently. And the walls of the mausoleum of his also brutal dictator father Hafez al-Assad have been scrawled with graffiti recently, with one message saying, "Didn't I tell you we were coming for you?" I mean, that line alone is better than the last 10 Blumhouse movies. But moving on here, where were we? The American dream is a sham. No, that's another episode. Come on, get a grip, goddammit. Okay, so I've just been handed a piece of listener mail from my assistant, Tabitha. Thank you. Okay, let's see here. This letter is from a Mr. Graham Crocker. Actually, that O kind of looks like an A. I mean, that can't be Graham Cracker, right? I mean, is anyone named Graham Cracker? You know what? Let's just stick with Graham Crocker. Okay, what does he have to say here? Hello, Mark D. Okay, Graham. We're not starting off strong here. You spell my name with a K. It's M-A-R-C, not M-A-R-K. But you know what? This is a new year. I'm going to be light and breezy and not worry about it. But it is Mark with a C. Anyway, okay, here we go. Hello, Mark D. Since it's the end of the year, do you have any hospital stories involving enemas? Okay, well, first off, Graham, that is a very disturbing question. And it reminds me of a saying I saw somewhere when I was a kid. With friends like you, who needs enemas? So, Graham, first off, don't stop taking your medication, okay? But it so happens you may be in luck. I may have a story that I can pull out of my ass for you. And you knew it had to be something like that, right? I mean, enema, come on. So, yes, in hospitals, people could be focused on bowel movements. And in psych hospitals, some patients can be overly focused on bowel movements. It's like you haven't taken a shit in a day. Join the club. We're going to be fine. And there is a pretty effective drug for schizophrenia called Clozaril, but it's heavy-duty shit. You have to have blood work regularly to make sure your neutrophils don't get all fucked up. Those are a type of white blood cell for you laymen. And it can cause constipation, which can get serious. So if someone's on Clozaril, then we definitely keep an eye on bowel movements. Can I just take a quick aside and mention that this is my final podcast of 2024 and I'm talking about shitting? But moving on, for some reason I tend to get assigned patients, and yes, there is an ass in a sign, that haven't had a bowel movement in a while, and they're usually old. It's like, okay, Mark, you've got Steve, he's 85, hasn't shit in 5 days, and Beatrice, she's 75, hasn't shit for 6 days. It's like, couldn't we have dealt with this on like day 3 or day 4? I think they literally look at the schedule and everyone's like, oh, Mark is coming in tomorrow. Let's leave it for him to deal with. So anyway, you know, we have several things in our arsenal, you know, Miralax or Senna or Dulcolax pills or my favorite magnesium citrate, which I call magnesium shittrate, which is a tolerable yet oily drink that you take, and it's usually pretty effective, so I usually push for mag citrate. I mean, giving suppositories isn't a dream, but I can deal with it. But every once in a while, I see these three words pop up on my list of things to do at work that strike the fear of God in me. Tap water enema. Everything about this perplexes me. It's like, can't we just squirt a fleet up in there? The tap water enema is like a bucket and you're using gravity, so the higher you move with the bucket, the faster it will flow. I don't know. I've done literally one in my nursing career. I had no idea what I was doing. I had this amazing nursing assistant helping me. I basically did nothing really. But it got me thinking, with all of our technology and AI and whatever the fuck, how is a tap water enema still a thing? Whenever I do hear or see that order come through, I'm always like, hey, doc, you want to come and do this fucking thing? I had one order for a patient a few weeks ago, and I had her take Miralax and Senna and a suppository and had her drink a lot of water. And when this lady successfully had a bowel movement, it was like I had just thrown the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. I was like, fuck yes, we don't have to do a tap water enema. I mean, a tap water enema is like something you would use in the fucking gold rush era or something. So why don't we go back in time to, say, 1880 or so in Tombstone, Arizona. Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday are sitting in a cabin drinking coffee. And Wyatt says, you know, Doc, God, I haven't had a dump in a week. And Doc says, a week? Jesus, buddy, you know what you need? A tap water enema. Hang on a second, let me get everything. Alrighty, we got some tap water and a bottle and, hey, Wyatt, here, shove this part up your ass. Okay, hang on here. And then Wyatt says, Doc, I feel it working. And Doc says, well, I haven't started yet, but I like your enthusiasm. Alright, here we go. See, Wyatt, we're using gravity. The higher I hold this bucket, the faster it goes into your ass. And Wyatt says, wow, gravity, you're like Isaac Newton and shit. And Doc says, and shit, and shit. Wyatt says, well, thanks, Doc. And can you imagine in, like, oh, say, God, I don't know, 2024, everyone will be like tap water enemas, man. What a relic of the past. And Doc says, that is for sure, Wyatt. Well, Doc and Wyatt, it's still a fucking thing. I don't know how or why, but it's still a thing. Speaking of enemas, life can literally and figuratively be a shitstorm at times. Okay, that's a weird but perfect segue to close out this podcast. There's a super talented singer, songwriter, musician named Johnny Polonsky that I've consistently listened to since the mid-1990s. I came across his album, Hi, My Name is Johnny, released on Rick Rubin's American Recordings in 1996. I probably read about the album in a record magazine or maybe the LA Weekly and probably bought it at my beloved, long ago shuttered Aaron's Records on Highland Avenue in Los Angeles. But anyway, just catchy as hell, poppy, great songs. I was an immediate fan. And the 1990s was like peak music times for me, going to a ton of shows, buying CDs, reading about bands. It was just the best. Johnny Polonsky had the goods, and he's kept it up. I think he grew up in Chicago, but he's now in Los Angeles. And I actually reached out to him via email, and he sent me the chords of a couple of his songs. So on top of him being talented as shit, he just seems like a cool guy. So when I do get back to Los Angeles, I will try and do an interview with him. But it's like, why does someone become massive and someone else doesn't? Man, there's no way to figure it out, and it often doesn't have to do with talent. It generally doesn't have to do with talent. And Johnny Polonsky has had his share of successes, but the dude keeps going on, which is really the inspiring part. Ultimately, you make music or movies or podcasts because you want to or need to, or at least that's the best reason to do things. You don't go in there thinking, oh, I'm gonna be rich. You go in thinking, man, I have stuff to get off my chest and share. Will people dig it or not? I can't know. But I'm going to create stuff nonetheless. So hats off to you, Johnny Polonsky. Check out some of his stuff, please. And my voice may not be the greatest this week, but let's give it a shot. I've always dug the song Half Mind from the previously mentioned Hi, My Name is Johnny. And here's a little of that. I know you see everything as fine may be true, but everyone can't fail their line. Sometimes blue, when you don't come back to find me, I'll be by half my half mind. I have my half mind. Half mind, half mind, I. And yes, another great song of his, and this is where we tie the whole fucking thing together, is Shitstorm from the great 2004 album, The Power of Sound, which has some great songs on it. Take a listen. But this song rings true to my heart because life is truly a shitstorm at times, sometimes involving a Tapwater enema and Wyatt Earp, and sometimes not. But regardless, we fight through that shitstorm, hoping for less shit, and we keep moving forward. So here's a lame attempt at Johnny Polonsky's song Shitstorm, and let's all hope for a better year next year. Bye-bye. Midgets, dwarves, and trolls, they're looking to pawn the souls and getting crazy, baby, out of control just for you. And while you're busy casting shadows on the wall, let the winner take it all, because you're through. No time for weakness, they are spreading the disease. Best to grab your paraplegics, the shitstorm brews. The shitstorm brews. The shitstorm brews. The shitstorm brews. The shitstorm brews.